If you have a deaf child, should you be using sign language in the home before that child goes to the deaf school? If you need an apartment that's wheelchair accessible, where do you go? Some questions like these are going to be answered, or at least addressed, in today's Sounds of Awareness. Sounds of Awareness is an interview program discussing topics of interest to people with disabilities and the community at large. I'm Paul Van Dyke. Welcome to Sounds of Awareness. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sounds of Awareness. I'm Paul Van Dyke. Today we are talking to Elton Busby, who is the Community Education and Support Group Coordinator for Disability Resources of Southwest Washington. We haven't had anyone from Disability Resources on in a long time, and I think it's time that we revisit them, because there are all sorts of things that continue on through the stream of life, and we want to keep up with things. So first of all, good morning, Elton, and thank you for joining us this morning on Sounds of Awareness.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me. Disability Resources, for starters, is a 501c3 nonprofit. We largely exist for information and referral. And what I mean by that is, you know, some of the questions you asked in the first place, you know, I'm moving into an apartment, I live in a wheelchair, I can't even get in the door, what do I do? That's information that you would need. So we would tell you, well, you need a ramp built, and the referral would be, you know, somebody, one of our independent contractors, somebody that we have on our resource list that would be able to assist, you know, members of the disability community in having a ramp built. So people will call in with needs. We listen, we identify, give them the information, and make referrals accordingly. We do provide other services, but that is a large part of what we do on a daily basis.
Well, at least that's one of the things that I imagine people call you about, and that may not seem terribly important to some people, but if you're the guy in the wheelchair or the gal in the wheelchair, as the case may be, that's extremely important. You know, where am I going to live?
Yeah, paramount in a lot of cases.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, what disability groups do you cover? I mean, you know, there are some organizations that help people with specific things, like blind people or organizations for the deaf, but basically you cover quite a variety, don't you?
That's correct. Our participants here at Disability Resources run the gamut of disabilities. We don't close our doors to anyone. You know, we have folks that have spinal cord injuries, have survived traumatic brain injury, multiple sclerosis, Down syndrome, you name it. We will provide, you know, our valuable services to all of them. But as you did indicate, there are, specifically in Southwest Washington, several organizations that focus on very specific disabilities. There's, you know, the ARC for developmentally disabled. There's the School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, the School for the Blind. You know, there are very specialized services in this area for certain disabilities. But, you know, we in that capacity, I like to say that we serve as a gateway. You know, somebody that's deaf or hard of hearing will, you know, come in, require services. We will certainly do an evaluation. We will help them with their immediate need. But if it looks like, okay, you know, you might want to talk to these folks over here. Let me give you their name. Let me give you their number. Get in touch with them. While I can provide the service for you, the level of service that they can provide, focusing on a very specific disability, in some capacities will exceed what we are able to do. So we love the partnership we have with other disability organizations in the Southwest Washington area, because that doorway exists. We're able to refer people to somebody who's going to do more for them than we would in that instance.
So in other words, anybody in Clark County, Washington, who has a disability, and maybe they're new at this, you know, one of the programs that we did on air here a while back was about the Seattle Library for the Blind, the Talking Book and Braille Library, and everybody says, oh, well, blind people already know about that. I've been getting books for years. But what about the person maybe who just lost their eyesight, or just gradually went blind enough to, I can't read the newspaper anymore, and I just hate television, and, you know, that kind of thing. How am I going to be able to read now? How am I going to be able to do my knitting if I can't see? Those kinds of things. They have no idea. And, again, I have to put in a little plug for KBOO, because that's an FM station that we produce this program for, and they allow us to be on the radio in the Portland radio market, and we also are on other internet access stations. But mostly our program is designed for people in the general public. So we like to bring all these things together. So if somebody, especially if you're new to the realm of disability, these folks are the people to call in Clark County. Now, as I understand, this Disability Resources of Southwest Washington is part of a national group of agencies like this. Don't they have these in every state?
That's correct. In every state, there's at least one Center for Independent Living, which is what we are called. And I would like to make a small correction. We don't serve just Clark County here in Southwest Washington. I would be hesitant to try to list all the counties that we serve. There's about a half a dozen counties in the Southwest Washington area that we do serve. So it's not just Clark County. We have people from Skamania and surrounding counties of the area. So we do kind of, our umbrella covers more. But we are a Center for Independent Living, there is a larger organization that you referred to. It's the National Council of Independent Living. We call it NICL for short. They don't directly govern necessarily our center, but they oversee centers for independent living throughout the United States to make sure that we are, meeting our core, values and mission statement and providing the services that are necessary to further the independent living movement. So, yeah, there is a large organization that we, kind of fall under, report to, kind of seek direction from, but we're not directly governed by them. So,
Sounds of Awareness. I'm Paul Van Dyke, and our guest is Elton Busby, Community Education and Support Group Coordinator for Disability Resources of Southwest Washington. And for those of you listening in other states, there are similar agencies in every other state, as I understand, or other parts of the country. And they're called, what did you say your Elton, that it falls under? What's it called?
We're called Centers for Independent Living. If you're listeners are in other states and looking for resources, they can always go to www.nlikenancycil.org. It's the National Council for Independent Living website, and they have a listing of every center for independent living in every state in the United States.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and we'll actually put that on our website as information so that people can know, because we have actually through KBOO's internet outreach and through a number of others, we have national and international reach, believe it or not.
Oh, well. Hello, overseas.
yeah. Oh, we've got the Global Voice in the UK.
Definitely.
Folks in the UK actually listen to us. Hello.
Hey, anyway, right.
Terrible. I won't even try to do the accent. I'll get email.
Yeah.
You idiot, that kind of thing. Anyway, well, since you are the education coordinator, educate us about, help us get educated about candidates and things. There's going to be a candidate forum you were telling me about earlier, and this is actually a chance not to just watch some stupid thing on TV or hear something on the radio, but actually to be there with candidates running for public office, at least in our state.
That's correct.
And ask them specific questions about stuff that you're interested in.
That's correct. The 2010 Legislative Candidates Forum is coming up this month. It is October 26th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Lupke Center Community Room, which is next door to the Marshall Center here in Vancouver. It's on McLaughlin Boulevard. We've invited all legislative candidates kind of statewide to come down. Not entirely sure at the moment who all is going to be there in person, but I do know that if they are not there in person, they usually send a representative, an aide, or something to speak on their behalf. we generally prepare questions that are based upon topics of importance to the disability community. Not that they're unique to us, but they're the big hot buttons, like housing, employment, transportation, things of that nature, where monies are going, where they're being cut. So the disability community in person can sit in the room and have the questions asked of the candidates and then see what their answer is, you know, because your power is your vote. And if the disability community really is going to progress further into independent living and get the same equal rights that they're striving for, we need to make sure that the people that we're electing to office know that these issues are still valid. They're not going away. We are not going away. So it's formal in the sense of we have legislators and candidates and such there, but it's a really kind of informal environment where, you know, we hope that everybody is being, you know, comfortable and honest and asking and giving up the answers. So we're really excited. Disability Resources is part of a larger kind of committee. It's not a formal organization. It's the Clark County Disability Coalition. There's, representatives from the Northwest Down Syndrome Association, the ARC of Clark County, you know, the School for the School for the Blind. You know, just a lot of different organizations that are coming together to make sure that we're putting this together to let our legislative candidates know that there are issues on the table that need to be addressed. You know,
what are some of the questions? If you have any information about that might be asked at one of those forums?
A really big hot button, and I would be hesitant to give a lot of details because the email just came across yesterday, and I have been so incredibly busy I didn't get a chance to really digest it. But I guess statewide, Department of Social and Human Services, DSHS, has instituted a 6.3% spending cut statewide, which, you know, shooting from the hip sounds like a really small number, but when we're dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars, that's a lot of money. And so from several different areas, several different facets of human services, money is being cut. So we have kind of at last minute started to reword some of the questioning that we're going to be asking the candidates. Hey, this is a lot of money that's all of a sudden disappearing. And, you know, we understand money's tight. You know, we're in trying economic times. But what are your thoughts on, you know, $23.7 million coming away from, you know, mental health services? Where do you fall on that? What is your sense of logic with regards to these cuts that are being made? So they're big hot buttons that are out there. The money that's being spent, transportation issues always being a big one. We're really, you know, here in Clark County specifically, we're kind of proud of C-Tran because they're making strides on a regular basis. We Disability Resources actually partner with them on a regular basis to make sure that public transportation is being whipped into shape and is up to snuff for the disability community that lives here in the Southwest Washington area.
Yeah, C-Tran is, for those of you outside the area, C-Tran is Clark County's public transit system. They run the buses and the paratransit. Also. And they're a good bunch of people. I was on their advisory board for longer than I want to say.
So, yeah, the candidates forum coming up is just going to be a really good opportunity to make sure that the people that we will be voting into office are aware of our issues and the disability community and those that support the disability community. It's an opportunity for us to see in person, face to face, these people that we're contemplating electing into public office and get a feel for their standpoint with regards to disability issues so we can make an informed vote.
Well, Elton Busby, Community Education and Support Group Coordinator for Disability Resources of Southwest Washington. Let me ask you this today on Sounds of Awareness here on KBOO. I have to slide that in every once in a while.
It's fine. Everybody's going to pay the bills.
But, you know, one of the things you were talking about, this huge budget being cut by 6%. A fella and I were talking the other day about the fact that if you are among something like, I guess it's estimated 65 to 70% of people with disabilities are unemployed. And of course, this is one of the important reasons that we have disability income and this kind of thing in some of these programs for people who can't work or who can't work full time. And my question is this, and maybe this is something that might be asked of the candidates. If your income is, let's say, $600 a month, anywhere between $600 and $700 a month, not a week, or every 3 days, but a month. You get that $600 check every month. With that, you have to pay your rent. Not everybody gets Section 8 housing. So you're paying full market rent. You're paying, full freight on the groceries, unless you're getting some help with food stamps. Just your basic telephone bill, probably runs around $40-$50 a month, something like that. If you were to cut back that income by 6%, or even 2 or 3%, what would you give up? What would you give up paying your electric? Would you give up having a telephone, which is terribly important for people who especially have severe disabilities? What kind of a mess would you be in?
Yeah.
That
would be a very good question for them. It's fortunate that we're going to have a moderator and kind of an MC of the event to make sure that these questions are asked with the correct wording and energy and such behind it. I tend to be a little passionate when it comes to things like that. So fortunately enough, I'm just going to be in the background that night. But they are big questions, and they are big questions with really big answers that need to be asked. Again, realizing that we're in tough economic times, I think. Oftentimes that people that are not on SSI or SSIDI tend to forget. They take for granted that there's a support system in place for those people, and it just makes my skin crawl to hear statements like that happen. Yes, there is a support system in place, but as you said, that's $600 or $700 a month, not a week. And speaking for myself personally, that's my rent. Each month. That's just my rent. I mean, I'm not on SSI or SSDI, but I'm making the comparison that dollar amount that people are receiving that they have to make their entire existence happen on is just rent for some people, mm-hmm. or just car payments. I know people with car notes and insurance that run in that range. And so when they think, it's okay, we'll just shave a little off the top here. No, it's not okay. It's these are people's livelihoods, mm-hmm. and it's a balancing act to the worst degree of trying to make, like you said, rent, utilities, things of that nature happen on what most people take for granted for being a rent payment or a car payment or something. So that is a very good question for them, and we're wording that appropriately, but those are questions that we are asking. What are your thoughts on money being cut from here and services being cut from there? To quote unquote serve the greater good, are we cutting off our nose to spite our face, or is this really it's just we're hoping to put a mirror in front of them and allow them to look at the situation and feel something and hopefully affect some positive change with regards to disability rights and services that are available.
Well, that's an excellent point, and I'd like to kind of continuing on in that similar vein. Many people who have disabilities are isolated for various reasons. By isolated, I mean the general public doesn't really, as you alluded to, doesn't normally think about somebody who's living on $600 a month and maybe the apartment's $400 a month and you've got $200 a month left. Oh, they get medical coupons, don't they? Yeah, okay. Anyway, don't get me started because I
it's a short show.
How do you approach the community basically, and how do you reach people, particularly newly disabled people, or as people become older? For instance, they might diabetes is a big one. Causes people to lose feeling in their hands and feet and lose their eyesight and. Just all kinds of stuff. How do you reach the people that you need to?
My position here being twofold, but between community education and support group coordinator, there's a great deal of outreach that happens on my part. Here lately, I've been really busy in the office, but I don't want to say a perfect world scenario, on a regular basis, I should say. I'm frequently out of the office. I'm meeting with local service providers, going to senior centers, things of that nature, just it places where the disability community would be, or members of the disability community would be, just to make sure that they get a face with a name, and the name being the organization, not mine. And, you know, just sitting down, I'd like to take a really human approach. I mentioned earlier kind of a grassroots human services. I don't like pretense. I don't like titles. I sit down with people at the table and have a conversation and shake their hand and really listen to their stories and let them know, you know, we do have support groups based upon traumatic brain injury. So you're not alone. If this is what's keeping you isolated, it's good for you to know that we're here, and there are a lot of other people like you. I mean, me, myself, I'm a traumatic brain injury survivor, so that helps me relate to people in that circumstance. I'm not just a person in a shirt coming in to advertise my business. I am a member of the disability community, so I'm able to connect with people, and it's that connection that really counts. You know, the disability community and services that we offer, word of mouth is a really big deal. You know, because it only takes once for somebody to get, you know, the milk soured, and that could do you in, you know, as an organization. Well, we here, fortunately enough, at Disability Resources don't like soured milk, so we do on a daily basis what is necessary to do right by our community to make sure that they are getting what they need. So outreach is a big part of that, spending a lot of time in the community. You know, the support groups that I facilitate and oversee here at Disability Resources, I make sure that I shake everybody's hand. There's one group we have here. It's called DAWN. It's an acronym, DAWN. It's Disability Women's Networking. I'm not allowed in the room for obvious reasons, but I make sure that I meet with these ladies as they're coming in and out of the office, so they realize there are people here that really do care. And when they come in the office, they don't see, you know, that's the support group coordinator. No, they see that's Elton, or that's Connie at the front desk, or Jim, our executive director. They recognize the face and immediately attach a name to it. And they go, they tell their friends, and like a lot of communities, whether it be based upon disability or nationality or, you know, wealth, people within a community talk to each other, and they congregate together. And so by putting a really good, warm energy behind a face and a handshake, that gets out, and it spreads like wildfire. And, you know, the people that you made reference to, newly disabled, we see a lot of that, just a whole bunch of that. People all of a sudden, you know, I am in a wheelchair for the first time in my life. I have no idea what to do. I'm scared. But, you know, I'm going to lose, you know, the fear is lose my job, lose my house, you know, all the things that come into one's mind once they've lost their ability to walk physically on both legs. We see a lot of that. They come in and they're terrified. And the first thing that we try to do is, okay, let's calm down. You are not alone. So let's just breathe for a moment and look at your circumstances, figure out what your most immediate needs are. What can we take care of first? What can we as an organization do to help you reach those goals? Part of the mission behind independent living is that we're not going to do it for you. We will give you the tools that you need and help you to achieve it on your own. You know, all too often people in the disability community, especially newly disabled, they think that SSIDI or this, you know, these benefits or Medicaid or Medicare, that's their entire world. And that if it doesn't exist in that check that comes every month, then it doesn't exist. Well, that's not true. This big, beautiful world is available to everyone, regardless. So we help them to see that you're not alone. Let's just breathe. We'll get through this. And if your need is figuring out how do you live your life now as a person in a wheelchair, well, we'll figure that out. We'll look at your life and help you figure out what it's going to take to keep your quality of life as high as possible while doing it in a wheelchair.
You know, one of the things I have to congratulate you on, when someone comes into your office, one of the first people they see working at a desk, at a computer, answering the telephone, doing this kind of stuff, is Connie. In fact, we've had Connie on the program a couple of times.
She's amazing.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, somebody who sits in a wheelchair can work, you know.
Yeah. It's a big thing. You know, a lot of people will take even that for granted. They walk in and that's a big thing for a lot of people in the disability community to walk in and see, oh wow, I can do that too. I can have a job. I can be productive. I can be a professional. Here at Disability Resources, per our bylaws, 51% of our board and staff have to have some form of disability. So we are not just people working for the disability community. By and large, we are the disability community. So that strengthens our connection with this community specifically, is to let them know you can get out and do for yourself. And obviously there's different levels of disability, so it just depends on where you fall on that scale as to what kind of job or career or level of productivity is going to be involved in your life. And like each of us, we're all individuals, so everything is different. But that really does make a big difference. And offhand, having Connie at the front desk wasn't a strategy. It just so happens we were blessed to have her involved with the organization. But it does make a big difference when people walk in the door and that's the first thing that they see, is that there is an obviously disabled person working here. She is a professional. She's very kind and very warm. And that sets a really good tone. And then all of a sudden you deal with, I shouldn't say deal with, that has a bad connotation, but you know what I'm saying? You get to meet and work with other people, other staff members here in the office, and we all try really hard to keep that level of warm professionalism, alive in this office, and that's what keeps people coming back here.
Elton, that's great. In fact, that's a great note to wind up on. We're at the end of our half hour here.
Oh.
And I want to thank you very much. These things always go by really fast, and I really appreciate you being on the show with us this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Elton Busby, the Community Education and Support Group Coordinator with Disability Resources of Southwest Washington, has been our guest on Sounds of Awareness this morning. We'll have his contact information and the national link for you on our website. And that will be announced at the end of the program in just a couple seconds. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Elton, for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
This has been Sounds of Awareness. For more information about our program and guests, please visit kboo.fm/soundsofawareness. Our screen reader-friendly website is publicradio113.weebly.com. There you can find downloads of previous shows, contact information, and editorials on various disability-related topics. Sounds of Awareness is independently produced by Paul and April Van Dyke for KBOO-FM, Portland, Oregon, USA. Thank you for listening, everyone.